Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome to our sales podcast. We're here with a sales legend, David Torres.
Thank you for saying that. That's very kind.
You
That's
are a sales kind. Legend,
David. Thank you. I appreciate that.
David, why don't do you go by David or David in English, by the way?
I go by David in English.
David, yeah. David in English.
But okay. I've heard people call me David. Some people even call me Dave.
Well, as I mean, it happens to me, like Luis.
I can see Luis.
Oh, I get so many Luis. Yeah.
You know, as long as you're not insulting me and you treat me with kindness, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Which one do you prefer?
I prefer David.
David. Okay. So we're here with David Torres. David is a sales legend.
Thank you.
Why don't you tell us a bit about who you are, what you do at HubSpot?
I'm currently a sales director at HubSpot, but I've been very lucky to have the HubSpot sales school almost guide my entire career. I started out as BDR, cold calling, prospecting, real ice cold accounts. Then I became a sales rep selling to companies for many size. Then I became a channel account manager working with our partners. I became a manager and now I'm a director in the LATAM mid-market business. So it's been a wild ride. It's been 10 years, but I'm very happy and I feel very lucky to have had the career I've had so far.
Yeah, you've grown like crazy, man. Yeah, absolutely.
So have you guys. It's all in tandem.
You know
that's why I love this ecosystem. It's about how do we help each other grow better.
Love it. And talking about growing. So we're addressing people here who, like, we're talking to somebody who's new at selling. Yeah. They just started selling. Maybe they're new at selling HubSpot. What's the first lesson that you think they should learn? Your first tip for them, where to start?
So I think when you sell HubSpot, there's almost it's a double-edged sword because so much of our demand is people wanting to know more about the product. So it lends itself to you wanting to talk about the product.
Mm.
And that's where that's the trap.
I can see that.
Because when you learn about the customer's business, you might actually challenge the preconceived notion. When you're able to learn about the customer's business, you might be able to say, you know what? I see why you want that. I'm actually not going to recommend that. Mm. But when you know HubSpot, all you do is talk about HubSpot. And there's 80%. 90% of the decisions can happen independent of you outside of the conversation that you're having in that moment in time. So if you don't have the opportunity to learn about their business, you're going to find yourself without options. And when you don't have options, all you can do is try to pressure to close, say, oh, I have special end of quarter pricing for you. And you're going to go down the gauntlet of all the reasons why they need to buy from you, and you're going to annoy the prospect. And then you're going to be frustrated, you're going to be angry, and you're going to say, well, what else can I do? And that what else can I do stems from you didn't learn. Because the product is so good that you thought you didn't have to learn. But this is where I think my biggest tip, all this to say, you have to earn every sale. And it could be the biggest sale in the world, it could be the smallest one, but you have to earn every single sale. And the way that you earn every sale is by learning about the customer, by recognizing that there's actually a really cool business here. There's people that are doing such interesting things. Like, I've never owned, let's call it, a logistics broker. Never have. I've never owned a solar panel business. But I can learn from individuals who have. And there's something so nice about getting to learn about what people do, because it just makes you smarter.
Fascinating.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I love it. Yeah.
It's more, it makes every day just a little more enjoyable.
Absolutely.
And I'm here to have fun.
Yeah.
Like, I love hitting quota. I love overperforming. But I also want to have fun independent of my results. And when you focus on learning and getting to know the person you're working with and getting to learn how their business makes revenue and how it ticks, now you find yourself in a position where having fun's a little easier and that phone's less heavy and you actually appreciate a lot more what you do. So that's my biggest tip. Don't focus on the product, focus on learning.
And I love it. And I love what you're saying about fun. So we were just talking about that a little bit, and you were saying how, I mean, you can easily get caught up in the anxiety of looking at your numbers, your sales quotas, that number that you have to hit, and you get lost in that, and you forget to have fun, and you kind of miss out on that sales. Could you elaborate a bit on that? Yeah,
I think so much of sales can feel like been there, done that. Like, oh, it's the same conversation, it's the same questions, it's the same, and it can become something that you kind of take and go on autopilot. Like, that's where sales becomes a trap. And you can't let yourself do that. Because if you're doing the same thing over and over again, multiple times a day, you're going to go insane. You're not going to have fun. You're going to feel like, oh, this is the same conversation. But a lot of that stems from how active are you in that moment? Are you present? Like, so much of life is about enjoying that moment, right? Like, I think when I'm with my wife, I know that I don't always get to spend as much time with her as I'd love to, but the moment I do get to spend with her, I want to be present in that moment. So I have it in me to be present. Why don't I do that when I sell? Why don't I do that with every single meeting that I have?
Like, you're always like thinking about the next step, exactly. Thinking about, oh man, I got to close this. And no, you're not living in there.
You got to be present. Because if I'm not present, my prospect knows it.
Oh yeah.
You know, and if they might not call me out on it, but they're not paying attention either. So again, you have to earn every sale. How in the world are you going to earn a sale where you're not even paying attention?
Absolutely. It goes back to what you were saying, man. You got to learn about your prospect so you can actually enjoy it. Because, I mean, if you're just talking about your product, like, yeah, I'm in love with HubSpot. HubSpot's great. And this is why you need to have HubSpot. Then you're not really connecting with that person. Yeah. You're not understanding what's driving them, what's their challenges, which is what's going to be intriguing for you.
Yeah.
Because their challenges, their problems are different problems from everybody else, right?
And the cool thing is their problems might actually educate you for another prospect that you're going to meet down the line.
Love it.
And you'll be able to say, actually, I spoke with this prospect a few weeks ago or a few months ago. Is that happening to you at all? And they might say, how do you know? And now you're not the HubSpot expert, but you happen to be a business expert that just so happens to know about HubSpot. And when you end up in that second world, you do a lot better.
I love that what you just said. It's totally a different mindset. You're not a salesman. You're like a business consultant who happens to know HubSpot, who happens to be selling HubSpot at this time. But I'm actually like more involved with the business, and I want to get to know more about your business and how we can help you out.
Exactly.
And HubSpot just happens to be able to help you out with that.
And that to me is a lot more fulfilling than just going down a checklist of questions so I can try to negotiate a price. And then when you ghost me, now I have to pressure you, now I'm calling you, and I'm doing all these things that I really don't want to do because I need to hit quota.
Of course, yeah.
And you know,
that totally makes sense. And on that, have you ever had a situation where you did not recommend HubSpot to anyone based on what you heard from their experience?
A very long time ago, there was a school. I've done this multiple times, but this one's the first time I did it, which is why I remember it more often. And they were trying to teach English, and I asked them, cool, so tell me about the business. And they're like, yeah, we have one big area. I'm like, cool, how many locations do you have? They're like, well, we have two locations. I'm like, cool. And how many students can each location hold? And they're like, oh, about 100 students. I'm like, okay, where are you now? They're like, we're at 98. I'm like, sorry, 92. So I'm like, oh, so you're leading 8 more students. Why don't you just go across the block and just put little like brochures? That seems to me like a better strategy than having to invest time, effort, energy. Like, just that seems like an easier path.
Oh yeah.
And the prospect goes, well, yeah, I guess that's something we can do. I'm like, yeah, why don't you try that first? Do that first. And if that doesn't work, then we can talk. But I have a feeling that's going to work. And it worked, right? Never heard from them ever again.
Yep.
They're happy and good for them. So I've had that happen. Then I've also had situations where there was a customer who said, hey, I'm really intrigued in HubSpot's automation. And it would have been an awesome ticket price for me. But then I realized that they were trying to use my product as a core engine to their product.
Mm.
So I'm like, guys, so what are you going to do if HubSpot decides to increase pricing tomorrow? They're like, well, we can't do that. I'd be like, right, because your use case, you need to develop this on your own. Like, you can't be using HubSpot intellectual property to make your product tick. Otherwise, you really don't have a product.
Absolutely.
And that's a company that unfortunately did not make it. They did go under because I kept tabs on their progress.
Oh, man.
It was a startup. It had good funding. It was a good idea.
Yeah.
But it's just...
A lot of startups, they don't make it. Yeah.
It's not always going to work out.
Yeah.
But it taught me to think about, is this company really going to survive independent of me? Like, is this a good use case for me? So it does happen. But again, it's all about having options.
And I think it's great that you've had those experiences where you've been willing to tell people, you know, we're not the right fit for you. Because just going with that honesty into that conversation, that puts you in a position where when you do recommend them, you're believing it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you trust it. You know that you're recommending it because that is the best option for them. So it makes you feel better about yourself, doesn't it?
I think there's an element where I want to be proud of the work that I do.
Exactly.
And I want to be proud about the way I look myself in the mirror and the way I say, hey, did I do a good job today? And I can't do that if I know I'm just trying to convince somebody or if I'm just going to live in the moment pressure, maybe lie.
Yeah.
I can't do that. You know? And
those are the terrible sales practices that give people, give salespeople a bad name.
And it's not your selling. Spirit.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel crappy about myself.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to do that. Yeah. No, those are terrible salesmen who do that.
Exactly.
Psychopaths. Yeah.
I mean, at this point, this is why so many salespeople don't succeed. Yeah. Right. So it's doing it the harder way, but doing it the harder way, the way that it forces you to learn
the right way. You're taking an interest in your client and your prospect.
Yeah.
And I think they appreciate that too.
And I always think it's almost like working out, right? Sometimes you're in a position where I know, if I'm doing a deadlift, I know that I can do it my way. I can do it sloppy and I'm going to be able to deadlift whatever. But if I want to progress beyond my current limitation, it's not going to work out that way. I'm going to have to learn some good form. I'm going to have to sweat the details. I'm going to have to really think about what I'm doing.
Or you can take steroids.
And cheat the way.
And you can cheat. And then that comes back to bite you.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's where you get a customer who 4 months down the line, not even 3 weeks down the line, is saying, hey, this does not do what you said it would.
Absolutely.
And then it's now we're butting heads. And now it's more, it's not worth it.
Absolutely not. It's always better to do things the right way. Make sure you're a good fit. Listen to your client and make sure that what you're selling actually makes sense for them.
And sweat the details.
Yeah. And as you said, I mean, if you really pay attention to it, you're going to have more fun. It's going to be entertaining for you. And in doing so, you're going to provide more value to them as well.
Exactly.
And you're going to feel better about yourself. I love it.
And that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to be happy. I'm a human in this world.
And you have
first.
That happy energy about you. That's something I love about you, man. You're always with a smile, this great energy. Man, I think that's awesome.
I get to help businesses grow. That's a fun thing. I love this game, right? We get to be that difference maker for a business where they can hire people, where they can expand into a different job. That can change lives. Why not enjoy it?
I love it, man.
Hey.
You know it.
Oh. Well, good again.
Yeah. Love it, dude. Okay, so one last lesson for people who are listening here to us.
Have fun. Really do. Yeah. You got to have fun. If you're not having fun, you're probably not in the right area.
Okay. Yeah. Great lesson, man. Love it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.